Blog Talk Radio.
There's a direct relationship between having the businesses and being in prison. Go find an see how many Asians you can find in American prisons. They ain't gonna be in there. But 51% of your prisoners will be black because blacks don't have any businesses and industries. There's a direct link. Blacks won't practice group economics. Blacks won't practice group politics. If you don't practice, you're setting yourselves up. And I told that five-story building, you're setting yourself to get wiped out. Understand the nature of race, which is economic. If you build the first floor, it's economic. Build your businesses and your industries. Control buildings and industry, and put that pools in your money, and hold that money, and practice group economics with it. Arab and Asian money bounces 12 to 13 times for a lead. Jewish money bounces 18 times. Black folk got to learn how to practice group economics. Black Americans spend every penny they get outside their own community. Then you take the money and the wealth that you get from that first floor and go to the second floor. The second floor is politics. You then take that money on the first floor and you control your politics. Black folk must quit allowing people to tell them to go out and vote. Vote for what? Nobody's going to do anything for black folk in politics. Politics is controlled by money. Major corporations who got the money. That's what controls politics. If you have no money, you have no say-so, you have no benefits coming. So you take your money and you control and you take your money on the first floor, you buy every politician on the second floor. And any politician you can't buy, you rent or lease them to get what you need. Then once you get the second floor under control with the politician, with your money, then you go to the third floor. The third floor then is the police department and the court system. You take your money from the first floor and your politics on the second floor and you control the court system and the police department. Then the fourth floor, then is media. You then take the money that you generate off the first floor from business and industries and you go after radio stations, TV stations, newspapers, and cable systems so that you can now inform and communicate with your own people. Right now, black folk only control less than 35 thousandths of 1% of the media in the United States. Out of 12,000 radio stations, black folk own about something like about 75 or 80. That's all. You own no cable systems. You don't have a daily newspaper. You have nothing of importance. You got about one black TV station. So you can't communicate with your people. You can't inform your people. You can't do anything. You can have Rush Limbaugh and all the rest of the guys talking about racism all day long and bad-mouthing you. And O'Reilly. They can call black folk all kind of names all day long. What are you going to do? You can't respond. You can't even communicate with your own people because you don't have an economic base. 51% of all the prisons in the United States are black people. You know, you only make up 12% of the population. That's no accident. It's because you don't control the economics and the politics. And they're going to go after the weakest people they can get their hands on to incarcerate. That's the black folk. And what are you going to do in response to them when they over-incarcerate you? You're going to go out and have a march, a demonstration. We're going to march. March, boy, who cares? Marching, they never changed anything.
We'll be right back.
Many a young athlete entertains hoop dreams. Few, if any, have tried as hard to make them come true as the kid our Steve Hartman has gone to see.
Every week, he set himself up for disappointment. Every week, 13-year-old Jamarian Stiles came to this community center in Boca Raton, Florida, hoping to play basketball with the other kids. And every week, he was rejected.
They'll start picking teams, and I would be the only one left out. And then they'll just tell me, just go home and stuff. You can break someone's heart like that.
The problem was obvious to everyone but Jamarian. He lost his hands and most of his arms as an infant due to a rare bacterial infection. But he insisted that was no reason to give up his hoop dreams.
What about soccer? Have you heard of that sport?
Yeah, hear it every day.
Why don't you play soccer? That just seems like the obvious thing.
You would think that I would be good at soccer. I'm really not. I'm horrible.
Which is why, on the first day of class here at Eagles Landing Middle School, Jamarian took his case to basketball coach Darian Williams.
Yeah.
Said he wanted to be on the team this year.
I said, all great, well, just make sure you try out.
He said, okay, great, but what are you really thinking?
This man has no arms.
Yeah.
How is he going to play basketball? But, man, he told me, Mr. Williams, I've never been on a team before. Even if I don't play, I just want to be on the team. And how could I say no to that?
And that's how the Eagles got their first armless basketball player. Jamarian, number two there, quickly earned a reputation as the hardest worker on the squad.
He was usually the first one in the gym, usually the last one to leave.
Still, he sat on the bench most of the season.
Try one more.
Until last month. Coach put him in the game with about 6 minutes left. And when he eventually got the ball on the far side of the court, everyone yelled, shoot it! So he did. And sank. A three-pointer. And if you didn't quite see that, don't worry. Because shortly after, he got the ball again. This time on the near side. For another three-pointer. At the buzzer. Jamarian Stiles. The kid no one would pick. Was now everyone's hero. Needless to say, today, Jamarian can play all he wants at the community center. He just made the volleyball team and has every intention of playing football next year. Really, the only thing he won't play is the victim.
If I could wave a magic wand right now and give you your arms back, would you want them?
I don't need them.
You don't need them?
No.
Who needs hands when you've got this kind of touch?
Now, learn this from Joel Osteen. That's my man. He be texting me. That's my man. This, God done put some people around me, show me some stuff. He was telling this story. He said this man that went to heaven, and he was walking with Peter down this aisleway, and it was going down this corridor, had a lot of doors on it, and said all these doors had names on it. And he said, Peter, let me ask you something. What's all these doors, these names on? He said, don't worry about it. Just go ahead. So he kept walking. And mess around, he saw one of them doors and had his name on it. He said, whoa. He said, hey, Peter, this here ain't got my name on it. Something I need to know? He said, man, don't worry about that. You here now. Just go on in there and talk to him. See what he's here. He said, nah, I want to know what's in the door. He said, you sure you want to see what's in the door? He said, yeah. So he opened up the door. It was a warehouse. It had nothing but shelves on it. And then the shelves had nothing but packages. And all the packages had his name on them. And he said, what is all these boxes? He said, that's all of the blessings, all of the things God wanted to ship to you. But number one, you didn't ask him for it. Then number two, you didn't believe you would have it. Then you doubted him, and then you felt like you wasn't worthy, and so now all these boxes is up here. Now the man standing there wishing he had never even been in the room, and I started thinking. I got some dudes that work for me, and I said, I want you to do this graph for me, and that's what I'm finna show you now. See, what you happen is, when God sends your package, he only sends it to one street. That's Faith Street. You got to stay in faith. You can't move off of Faith Street. You can't get on Doubted Drive. You can't be over there and start doubting it, because your package going to go right on by. You can't Lose your faith and get on not meant to be way, because your package is going to keep going right on by. Because the package just go to Faith Street. You can get your little feelings hurt, I ain't worthy. Guess what? Your package going to keep going right on by. You have not because you ask not. Then you sit up here and start feeling sorry for yourself. You go on pity way, your package keep going right on by. If you stay right on Faith Street, don't ever come off, because the blessing is coming. If you wait on it, here it comes. It may not come when you want it, but it on time. But if you get up and you move off of Faith Street, your box gonna get sent back to sender. And now you're gonna have a warehouse with a bunch of boxes with your name on it that you didn't never get. And I don't know about you, but I want everything he got for me. If he got something for me, I need all of mine. Because I don't know about you, but God lay you out, man. God will give you stuff. Man, he done took me places I ain't never thought I was going to go. I done seen parts of the world I never even thought I could go to. He done gave me stuff. He done put people in my life. God will do it for you, man. But you just got to stay, man. Use these principles of success. Understand, God is just that way. He'll lay you out. Because if he can lay me out, see, if he fix me and change me and get me over here trying to do better, I ain't perfect. I'm just trying to do better. I still say some stuff I ain't supposed to say. You understand? I ain't got it all together yet. I just got in the gate. I'm a new kind of Christian. But ain't no lock on my gate either. So if you see, once you check me, I'm probably going to check you back. But I'm getting better at that. I don't know how to love my enemies yet. I'm getting better at it, though. But it's a process. And the more times we can make people understand that it's a process, the more people can come in. And y'all people that have been good to me, that have been praying for me. I mean, man, my mama, if she could see me now, I just wish my mama could see me. Because she's been praying for this hill all her life. Watch my son. Well, he done watched me, mama. And I'm cool now. And my philosophy is very simple. I was who I was, but I am who I am. And I'm cool with both them people. Because who I was wasn't that bad a cap. I made some mistakes, but I've been changed a little bit. And it's still a process. And the more people that you invite into the process, the better this is. Because ain't nobody perfect no how. So I really appreciate y'all, man, hearing me and listening to me. I'm going to ask Kirk Franklin if he will come.
Okay, we're back with the startup of It's My House. And today's topic is, well, carryover from last week. What people are still talking about, still trending. Bill Cosby checks and balances law. We'll probably have Warren Houston calling on this one. 619-768-2945. So before we get to that, let's just get some more morning motivation.
Friends, it is time once again for our daily message of hope. And with today's message, here is Richard Eaton.
Friends, to brighten your day, here is our message of hope. Speaking of the quality and power of love, on this new day, fresh and clean and unused, moldable to your touch, reminds me strongly of an old fable. The sun and the wind agreed to hold a contest to determine which was stronger. One day when the wind was roaring and bragging about his strength, the sun challenged him in the fable. The sun said, "I see a way to decide our dispute. The one who can make that traveler take off his heavy cloak shall be the stronger." The wind agreed and said he'd try first. And the wind whirled and swirled about the traveler, almost whipping the coat to rags. But the harder the wind blew, the colder grew the atmosphere. The traveler wrapped his coat about him tighter than ever before. Finally, the wind gave up, admitted his failure, declared also the sun would fail. But the sun just smiled and let his rays fall gently on the traveler down below. Soon the traveler grew so warm, he had to remove his coat to keep cool. Now love is like the sun. Its very existence and expression creates warmth. It doesn't have to whip at a man and roar and rant to be effective. The simple awareness of love is effective. Did you ever watch clouds disperse on a dark day when the sun suddenly began to shine through? The clouds seemed to completely dissolve, melt away. You yourself have that same power within you to dispel all your troubles today, all your perplexities, all your distresses. Stop talking, stop thinking about your problems all the time. Such action aggravates your troubles. Brighten your mind with the conscious happiness of love. Take the advice of a wise philosopher. Do something for somebody else quickly when you're depressed. Do something for somebody else quickly when you're depressed. Such an action will brighten and change your entire outlook in a flash. One of the most interesting facets of love is the simple fact that only in the welfare of our fellow man can we attend properly to our own welfare. When we work for our neighbor, in reality, we are working for ourselves. And we are working with God, who needs us to carry out his will and to help him help others. When God's will has been fully carried out, we've reached the pinnacle of success, peace, even world peace. I'm often amazed at the complexities we humans assume must provide the victories we strive so hard, so clumsily to win. Somehow it seems only the poets have grasped the happy simplicity of real life satisfaction. The quality love, for example, is in its essence supremely simple. But poets, rather than the so-called great thinkers, are the ones who fully grasp the significance and the meaning of love. Consider the simplicity of these soaring lines. When your heart is in despair, add more love unto your prayer. Love will meet the need. When you find a rugged way, when you have a long, hard day, when for help you pray and pray, love will meet the need. When your heart is feeling fear, love will meet the need. Love will help in all you do. Love will help you to be true. Love will meet the need. God as love will banish hate, if on him you only wait. Love will meet the need. All your needs will be supplied, if on love you have relied. Not a thing will be denied. Love will meet the need. Or listen to these stinging words, one of the most beautiful prayers that I know. Teach me to love. There was a time when in my daily prayer, I asked for the things I deemed most fair and necessary to my life's success. Riches, of course, and ease and happiness. A host of friends. A home without alloy, a primrose path of luxury and joy, social distinction and enough of fame to leave behind a well-remembered name. Ambition ruled my life. I longed to do great things that all my little world might view and whisper, wonderful. Ah, patient God, how blind we are until thy shepherd's rod of tendering chastening gently leads us on to better things. Today, I have but one petition, Lord. Teach me to love. Indeed, it is my greatest, my only need. Teach me to love, not those who first love me, but all the world, with that rare purity, a broad, outreaching thought, which bears no trace of earthly taint, but holds in its embrace humanity, and only seems to see the good in all reflected, Lord, from thee. And teach me, Father, how to love most, those who most stand in need of love, that host of people who are sick and poor and bad, whose tired faces show their lives are sad, who toil along the road with footsteps slow, and hearts more heavy than the world can know. People, when others pass discreetly by, they fail to hear the pleading of their cry for help amid the tumult of the crowd, whose very anguish makes them cold and proud, resentful, stubborn, bitter in their grief. I want to bring them comfort and relief, to put my hand in theirs, and at their side walk softly on, a faithful, fearless guide. Help me to feel these sad ones doubly dear, because they need so much. Help me to seek and find that which they thought was lost, to speak such words of cheer that, as we pass along, the wilderness shall blossom into song. Ah, love divine, how empty was that prayer of other days, that which once was so fair. Those flimsy baubles that the world calls joys are nothing to me now but broken toys, outlived, outgrown. I thank thee that I know those much-desired dreams of long ago, like butterflies, have had their summer's day, of brief enchantment have gone. I pray for better things. Thou knowest God above, my one desire now. Teach me to love. What could be simpler than the thoughts in these lines? A child can understand them. Yet so many of us neglect or somehow are unable to make use of their protection against happiness, unhappiness, sorrow, suffering, fear, envy, worry. We permit ourselves to be tangled in imagined complexities and thus lose sight of love's utter simplicity. Every human being needs and ardently wishes to love and to be loved. But say the many who get lost on the way, the people I know don't seem to want or need my love or appreciation or understanding. Some of them almost make a point of telling me they don't even want my friendship. Don't you believe it? Do the flowers need sunshine and rain? Of course. The people around you want and need your goodwill and affection just as much as the flowers need sunshine and rain. Maybe they've been fooling you. They may even have fooled themselves into the belief they can get along without your love or anybody else's love. Fear, a sense of insecurity, or lack of understanding can often make human beings act, and on the surface even feel, exactly opposite to their basic desires. But every person in the world wants love, whether consciously or unconsciously. Your own heart, with understanding and love, can cut through the negative, untruthful, and unconscious outer layer of somebody else's fear and timidity and misunderstanding. Reach in, meet a fellow human being's deep, true wish for love and need and understanding and thirst for appreciation. We all want appreciation so very much. If you try sincerely to fill this need for love and understanding and appreciation, others will be forced out of their shells, no matter how thick or hard, into the warmth of human love. The underlying unity and harmony of life demands that we extend to others all the goodwill and kindness and generosity and love we hope to receive from them. To have a friendly attitude toward others is indispensable to our own successful living. Emerson's well-known phrase, "The only way to have a friend is to be one," was much more than virtuous sentiment. Love felt sincerely in your heart for all mankind will keep you stable and calm, serene, poised in whatever circumstances you may find yourself. Love can heal your discord of mind, your body, or the day-to-day affairs of the world you live in. Envelop yourself in it. Immerse yourself so fully and so deeply that love radiates to all about you and reflects back to yourself. Remember these words. You cannot be critical and radiate love. You cannot be selfish and radiate love. You cannot be angry and radiate love. Try another experiment. Consider for a moment some individual from whom you feel no sentiment of love or affection. Then try to think how you would react if you should learn this person felt only love for you. The result of this little exercise alone may surprise you. Through the love you express, you can accomplish anything you desire, eliminate anything or any condition that might otherwise work against you. So, in one way or another, to define love is an admonition. Be the friend you want. Be courteous, be gentle, be kind. Above all, be understanding of yourself, of your own shortcomings, as well as those of others. If a friend understands you, it's obvious this understanding brings out the best within you. Remember, this works both ways. If you understand a friend, you bring out the best within his makeup. You may even help the friend find within himself forces and powers and love of which he's unaware. There's a poem called Friendship, written by Francis J. Gable, that always comes to my mind when I think about human beings trying to make friends. Says Gable, "I want the man I meet each day, wherever I may be, to know that joy and happiness just radiate from me. I want to put so much into the hand clasp I extend that every man I meet will say, I know he'll be a friend. I want to greet my fellow man with such a hearty smile that will banish all their care and make life seem worthwhile. I want to understand their need and such assistance lend that every man I know will feel, I'm glad he's my friend. I ask not honor nor reward for anything I do. I just would open wide my heart and let the love shine through. Though I but meet a brother once, one touch, one smile I'd send, and cause that man to sing for aye, I'm glad he's my friend." And so, friends, you've been listening once again to our message of hope. God bless you, everyone.
Fox News alert. In a stunning development, Bill Cosby is a free man, the disgraced entertainer, appearing with his legal team outside his house just moments ago.
Mr. Cosby has always used his celebrity, his name, his likeness, to uplift women. How could a man who was being watched by the FBI every day be raping and drugging women in the 60s or 70s, especially a black man? Today, innocence came to Mr. Cosby.
Mr. Cosby, we knew all along he never should have been prosecuted for this. He had every right to rely on the prosecutor's word. And they pulled the rug out from underneath him because of politics, because of the court of public opinion, and that is not how our system should operate.
The actor, once known as America's Dad, returning home after being let out of prison on a technicality. The Pennsylvania Supreme Court overturning his 2015 sexual assault conviction. The court ruled that a non-prosecution agreement with a previous prosecutor should have prevented Cosby from being charged in that case. A jury found Cosby guilty of drugging and raping Temple University sports administrator Andrea Constan at his house in 2004. He was the first person to fall in the Me Too movement after dozens of women claimed that he drugged them and molested them. But now, the 83-year-old is now a free man. So, Dana, we heard from the Cosby team out there in the driveway of Pennsylvania kind of making Cosby out to be the leader of the Me Too movement, if you take him at their word.
And they're almost euphoric. I can understand winning a case. You feel very good about it. This was a technicality. Technicalities matter in our system. So, I mean, this can happen. I think that for the women who came forward, who testified, it's a sad day for them. I think that it came out of the blue. I wasn't expecting this news, and I guess it was working its way through the system, but you don't really expect a technicality like this to overturn a jury trial.
Right.
But that's what's happened, and he is a free man. He is home. I think he was in for two years of a 10-year sentence.
Yeah, 2 years into a 3 to 10-year sentence.
Right.
And 4-3 decision by the Pennsylvania Supreme Court, Greg. I did not expect this either.
I did. Yeah. I've been watching this closely.
I'm sure you have.
Yeah, I feel bad for you, Jesse, because while he was in prison, you were, in a sense, America's dad.
People have referred to me as that.
Yeah. I was hoping you were going to go to Harold because he knows everything about this, but I'm going to steal all his talking points.
Okay.
They did cross a line, right? They did cross a line, and we don't know if they would have been able to convict him if they hadn't crossed the line. So he has to go free because they screwed up, and that's the reason. The question is, how come we didn't, nobody really in the media knew about this,
right?
But there was one person who did, and his name rhymes with Geraldo Rivera,
oh,
who claimed that he was the guy that said, you know, the court was tainted by public opinion and social pressure that prejudiced the evidence and allowed for improper witnesses. And I think Geraldo's word was that even though it doesn't matter whether Cosby's a bad guy, he was railroaded. So it's kind of an interesting thing because, if I get involved in a crime, I'm going to try to make sure it's as scandalous as possible because I don't want the court to function objectively. That way I can always win the appeal. But in terms of public opinion, this is a really good point to be made, especially now that justice can be overwhelmed by public opinion, which is now magnified by social media. Mm-hmm. Because if you remember the time that this was going on, there was no way he could be innocent because all you heard all the time, because you believe when you see the stuff on social media, you know, how can he be innocent? And then he's got his team working around the clock. He should buy them all drinks, but they shouldn't drink it.
Oh, gosh. So as Greg mentioned, there was a deal by the district attorney in Pennsylvania, Harold, and he didn't think he could get a conviction on a criminal charge. So he said, we're not going to prosecute you criminally. We're going to do a civil case. And so Cosby thinks, hey, I'm clear with criminal charges. I'm going to be deposed in the civil case. Ends up saying, yeah, I did give girls quaaludes. Mm-hmm. And then years later, new teams of prosecutors came in, disregard this agreement, and then charge the heck out of this guy. You think that was prosecutorial, I don't know, overreach?
Well, evidently, the Pennsylvania Supreme Court thinks that there was prosecutorial misconduct. Look, I don't think Bill Cosby would say that he's a saint. And whether we agree with the outcome of the trial or not, what is clear is the Supreme Court says you can't prosecute a person this way. We should all be thankful that our system is predicated and built around protecting individual rights. There are going to be outcomes that we don't like in legal cases. In fact, the most recent case that got a lot of attention, this police officer, Derek Chauvin in Minnesota, he got a trial. And the prosecution had to put on a case. That's how our system works. And if there was prosecutorial misconduct in this case with Bill Cosby, shame on those prosecutors. Because if he did the things that they claimed that he did, and he gets off on this because they didn't do their job right, anyone upset ought to be upset with them.
Yep.
Because they were the ones that didn't do their job correctly and didn't follow the law.
And, Katie, a jury still did, putting aside this agreement that was trashed, they still looked at the evidence and found him guilty.
Yeah, there's that. And as you mentioned, the 2005 civil suit where he admitted and the documents were released that he did, in fact, buy drugs to give to women that he wanted to have sex with. So that is on the record from Bill Cosby. Unfortunately, you know, if you really truly believe in victims' rights and you want justice for victims, you have to believe that the technicalities matter. You have to get rid of the mob. You have to take out the emotional
right
side of this, because in the end, the people here who are going to suffer are the victims of something that Bill Cosby admitted to doing. And there are cases like this that play out all of the time as a result of emotion getting into the courtroom or prosecutors not doing their job the right way. And then the victims who have spent decades of their life trying to get what they deserve in terms of some kind of justice for crimes that were committed against them, that all goes away in the blink of an eye, like today, because the things weren't done the right way. I believe that it's a good thing that the system has all of these protections built in for the accused, and it's up to and it has the responsibility of the prosecutors and the judges and the jury to stick to the rules that we have in the Constitution in order to protect the rights of victims so that they get the justice that they deserve.
Is Cosby still in the clear, do you think, Dana? Do you think people are going to come out of the woodwork and, I don't know, years after the fact, maybe file additional charges just to really, I don't know, get justice for any of the women that are still out there?
Well, for the prosecutor that screwed up and their team, I would imagine that they're going to feel a desire to try to make it right.
Yeah.
And they just might not be able to do that.
Well, I think the Supreme Court barred it.
They said he can't be prosecuted again, but a civil case.
In Pennsylvania. I mean, sure, there's got to be other women out there. Weren't there almost 3 dozen women?
For losing time? Like, if this was an injustice, he should be the one that is suing for the 2 years of his lost life.
To your point, when you get older, that time is more. It's like the percentage of your life. I don't know. I can't do the math. You've done it before, but if you're in your 80s and you just spent over two years in prison and you were there wrongly on a technicality.
Could you imagine
it's worth more.
If the taxpayers of Pennsylvania have to pay a claim
to
Bill Cosby?
Yeah.
Well, the other part of this, too, is if you look at it from the perspective of a woman who maybe hasn't come forward yet or hasn't gone through the process of filing either a civil lawsuit or a criminal case, if you look at this and the people, the prosecutors who are supposed to be pursuing justice on your behalf and protecting you, screwed it up this way. After you get a conviction from a jury, why would you put yourself through it in a lot of instances, right? They probably feel pretty beaten down by what happened today.
Yeah, demoralizing for a lot of people. Thank you, Katie.
Hey, Sean Hannity here. Hey, click here to
Bill Cosby has been released from prison after the Pennsylvania Supreme Court overturned his sexual assault conviction. The actor and comedian served almost 3 years behind bars before being freed yesterday. State Supreme Court judges says that he shouldn't have faced charges in the first place because of a non-prosecution agreement with a former district attorney. Well, that former Montgomery County District Attorney is Bruce Castor, and he is with us now. All right, Bruce, thank you so much for joining us again. I worked for a very long time for KYW in Philadelphia, and I probably interviewed you a couple of times. But this is an entirely different circumstance, and you find yourself at the center of this conversation again. As people look back at this non-prosecution agreement that you made with Bill Cosby. So I want to ask you, as you kind of think about this non-prosecution agreement again, do you have any regrets about not just the non-prosecution agreement, but it also wasn't put in writing. It wasn't disclosed that in exchange for this deposition, there was going to be a non-prosecution agreement specifically. I know hindsight is 20/20. How do you feel about the decisions that you made?
Well, I made the correct decisions at the time, and they still hold up today. I mean, I put in writing that he wasn't going to be prosecuted. As a direct result of that not being prosecuted, he loses his Fifth Amendment privilege against self-incrimination automatically. So there doesn't have to be any agreement with him. It's simply, you're not going to get prosecuted. Now you must sit for a deposition, and you must answer questions without claiming Fifth Amendment privilege. So the part that I had to do, which was make a decision that I thought was binding on the Commonwealth, I made, and I made that in writing. If further evidence is necessary, that would have been up to Cosby's people to do, not to me.
You know, sort of, and I know that it's a different time right now, but in light of the whole sort of Me Too movement, there's been a lot of pushback when it comes to things like non-disclosure agreements. And what had happened here was the deposition was sealed. Once it was unsealed, you know, we saw that though he admitted to purchasing Quaaludes for women that he wanted to have sex with, he never actually admitted to any particular crime. Do you think for the trade-off that you made, you got enough from Bill Cosby?
Well, you have to look at it from the perspective of 2005 and compare the evidence then to the evidence now. The case hasn't gotten any better since I had it in 2005. There wasn't enough evidence to win the case. In fact, the prosecutors couldn't win the case with the deposition and with one other alleged victim the first time. And the Supreme Court made it clear that it wasn't going to allow all those other potential victims to testify. So what does the prosecution have today that it didn't have, didn't have, and that's the deposition evidence. So they needed that in order to arrest and convict him. So they wouldn't have that had I not agreed to to forego prosecuting him, because that's what was the trigger for forcing him to testify. So they would have been right back to where I was in 2005 without enough evidence to win the case. So I thought getting some measure of punishment for Cosby was better than getting no measure of punishment for Cosby.
So when and this cost you a lot. I mean, you lost your election, and this was kind of the primary argument, right? When you found out that they were going ahead with the criminal case against Bill Cosby, knowing the agreement that you made, and that agreement was sort of, I guess, being tossed out, what was your reaction? Did you anticipate that things would come to this? Did you expect that the trial would go through and there would have been a conviction?
Well, I learned that that the DA's office was looking at the case again in September of 2015 before anything was used in the campaign or anything. And I wrote a private memo to the district attorney's office explaining and reminding them what happened 11 years before or 10 years before. And I expected that they would use that and realize that at the very least, the deposition couldn't be used, and I thought that they couldn't arrest Cosby. It never actually crossed my mind that they would go ahead and arrest him anyway and put the county through two trials and that expense and all of this effort and now a binding decision on prosecutors from now to the end of time out of the Supreme Court that's negative for them. I didn't expect that they would do that. I also didn't expect Kevin Steele to use it as an election ploy. And I realized that once he had made it the centerpiece of his election, he had married himself to arresting Cosby. And here's the result. All those dominoes fell, and a very bad decision for the government came out yesterday.
You had mentioned that part of the reason you wanted to get the deposition is to at least give the victim in this case, Ms. Constand, something for a civil trial. I guess my next question is, you know, that's not really your area of concern, right? If it's not going to be a criminal prosecution, then why did you care to do that, to make that step?
Well, once I decided that there wasn't enough evidence that I thought the case could produce a conviction beyond a reasonable doubt, I had two choices. I could do nothing and hope it got better, in which case I was essentially hoping for a confession because that would be the only way it could have gotten better. Or I could set the pieces up so that civil lawyers who knew what they were doing would know how to achieve a victory in civil court that would punish Cosby. You're right, it isn't my area, and it's not my job to do the civil case for the victim's lawyers, but it is part of my job as a minister of justice in Pennsylvania to do my best to achieve a just end. So what I did is I set the pieces up on the board so that they could be used, if they were used correctly, in such a way as to leverage a good settlement for the victim, and that is in fact what happened. And I was happy with that result, and thought that I had helped achieve a just end.
Let me ask you another question, Mr. Castor, about sort of the twists and turns of this case, because, you know, after the agreement that you made and the deposition is there and it is sealed and the deposition becomes part of a civil suit and the outcome of that civil suit is sealed. But the reason we know about the contents of that deposition is because the civil suit was unsealed at the request of the Associated Press, and it had to do with Bill Cosby's public persona, public criticism of kind of behavior within the African-American community, and he become what the judge said that he was moralizing. And so the judge unsealed the deposition. I'm curious, and then it was resealed, but I'm curious about your take, your legal take on that move. Should that deposition have been unsealed?
No. Part of the negotiation for the settlement of the case was both sides negotiating what they would get. And in exchange, I'm sorry, the phones are going crazy here.
That's okay. You're a wanted man.
Except for the issue of having to pay a lot of money, Cosby wanted to get something in return, and presumably what he wanted was to have all these things sealed. And the parties in the civil case came to a negotiated resolution that was signed off on by a judge. So it's like a contract. So the judge, when he's asked to unseal it, is asking to go back in time and overturn what the parties in a civil contract had agreed to. And ultimately, you know, when the judge unsealed the civil case, Cosby appealed that, and the appellate court ruled that the trial judge was wrong and should not have unsealed it. And as you point out, it was resealed. But by then, it's too late, and the barn door is open, and the horse has gotten out.
Mm-hmm. So we've been sort of talking about all this legal maneuvering, but at the center of this are, you know, quite a number of women who, you know, who say they are victims and feel like they have gotten nothing out of this experience. So earlier on CBS This Morning, one of the women who accused Cosby of sexual assault, her lawyer, Gloria Allred, responded to the court's decision to release Cosby. I want to play what she had to say.
It's almost like a mantra for me that he was released on a legal technicality and not because he's innocent. He is not innocent. He'll never be innocent, and I need to hold on to that.
So what would justice look like to you now? Because he is claiming that he is innocent. He is claiming that justice has been served.
He's going to always claim he was innocent. That story has never changed, but the 60-plus women that have come forward, we all know the truth. So his legacy, his will never be what it used to be. So a little bit of justice served there. He did serve 2 years, a little bit of justice in the fact that he is a disgraced former America's dad. And I can live with that.
So is this the end of the road for, you know, these women who say that they are his victims? Do they have any recourse at this point, or is this the end of the story?
Well, I think attitudes have changed over time about going to the police mm-hmm. and reporting crimes, but it has always been the case in Pennsylvania and in throughout the United States that we have a right of confrontation in a criminal matter. And if people are victimized by powerful men, they need to go to the police and make police reports. This notion that after the fact you can come in and claim that you were also victimized when it's too late for a defense to be mounted and it's too late for a prosecutor to bring a charge is antithetical to what the American Constitution stands for and the right of confrontation. Now, fortunately, I think attitudes have changed and people do come forward. But right now, anybody who was victimized, you know, 10, 20, 30 years ago, as far as I know, doesn't have any recourse in the criminal law.
Bruce Castor, I thank you for joining us. You're sort of in the hot seat right now, and so I appreciate you taking time out to talk to us.
Thank you for having me.
Well, there you have it. Today's podcast is titled Bill Cosby Checks and Balances Law. It's amazing that some people just want to, what's that expression, put the cart before, I use the expression, put the cart before the Rolls Royce. But some people want to totally ignore checks and balances system. If anybody should be in a hot seat, it's the prosecutor who made Bill Cosby a campaign issue and got elected that way. But in any event, 619-768-2945, we have a guest, one of the guests today, Warren Houston. Warren Houston, good morning.
Good morning, L.A.
Good to hear your voice. Well, what's your take?
It's a great day in the state of Pennsylvania when you see justice served.
I agree. Now, why do you think, because you have a lot of people that are just totally ignoring that this man had an agreement in writing with, you know, basically with the state of Pennsylvania or Montgomery County, Pennsylvania. They want to totally ignore that, and it was like a kangaroo court.
Well, that's what you're operating off of. You're operating off of the definition of what we call democracy is mob rule. Democracy cares anything about law or rules, regulations. It's just what the majority says. It's what the majority wants. It's emotional. It has nothing to do with law. And as was stated, this thing should have never been the trial. The DA need to be disbarred and also sued if necessary. And Constance, the woman that testified, and took $3 or $4 million in a civil suit, who made an agreement, both have breached the contract. And so based on these things, she needs to be sued as well. So,
you know, that's
Constance
a very good point, Warren. I've heard figures between $3.2 to $3.5 million.
Yes.
And so I'm sure her signature is on there. Right, breach of contract. Get the money back.
You know, and what people are not realizing, the only thing that does not have the statute of limitations in American law is murder. You can't come up 10, 20 years after the fact and say so-and-so did so-and-so to me in a court of law. It doesn't work that way. You know, I lost property like that because of the statute of limitations that ran on it and allowed somebody to come and squat on it. So if you can lose property based off the statute of limitations, then what makes a person think that you can come up 10, 20 years later and testify? And furthermore, Bill Cosby was never proven guilty beyond a reasonable doubt.
Right.
You know, we're talking about American law and how American law works. We're not talking about your feelings and emotions. That's not what we're talking about. We're not talking about mob rule. There's rules and regulations, and those rules and regulations have to be followed if we want to properly carry out American law.
I agree. Well, I agree with the prosecutor that did try the case. Whether he will be disbarred, I don't know. Well, Cosby I don't know.
He ran off the ticket of getting. That's what got him in. He ran off the ticket of
that's
getting.
That's what got him elected.
Cosby elected. I mean, yeah, getting Cosby put in prison, right? That's what got him elected. Which should have never done because he had a duty. He breached contract too. He had a duty to follow what the previous district attorney did in the case. He had a duty to keep that once it was basically sealed, once the deposition was sealed. Even in the deposition, even after sealing it, Cosby never admitted to any criminal acts.
Right.
You know, he basically
and
said
you know
that
what? This is also he did it what about 10 or 11 years after the deal was signed. So that's a decade.
Yes. See, this is when you're getting off into personal feelings, emotions, mob rule. I'm going to run off of it. He didn't, the previous deal didn't get him, I'll get him. Vote for me.
Now, let me ask you this now, because before he was, before Cosby was charged and arrested, one of the metrics I was looking at, because I don't know who individually or what organization supported by the Me Too movement in some way, they had to have a publicist because they kept Cosby's name in the news with allegations week after week after week. So if another person popped up and said he did this to me or whatever, and nobody brought charges against him. Then, I mean, I'm just looking at a publicist, a paid publicist, kept or a battery of them. You got to pay for that kind of PR work. So, I'm thinking that was probably connected to this guy's election in Pennsylvania, which I guess he made that a career. What do you call it in law? A career case. Which blew up in his face.
Well, it was character assassination, and I'm not trying to say whether Cosby did these things or not, but when you have 60 women come up 10, 20, 30 years later you know, why didn't you report this thing when it first happened? See, that's the question you have to ask yourself in American law. You would automatically assume some kind of way that the reason why you didn't report it because it was something on the table that you liked that you had connected to it. Because if you didn't, you should have reported it when it first happened. That's mm-hmm. what it should have happened. All of a sudden, you pop up 10, 20, 30 years later, and all of a sudden, you're a victim of Bill Cosby's, you know, and then you have to look at the time. As far as Quaaludes and stuff, a lot of people were doing that during those times. That was you going to somebody and they're giving you Quaaludes and things like that, then what you expect is going to happen next? That's what people were doing.
And even today, I mean, the drug, what they got, cocaine, still cocaine today, crack, meth. They got some kind of cough medicine thing somebody told me about last week. So there's always a drug element out there.
I mean, even without the drug, if I go to a party, you know, most times people go to a party or they get together, them get other people. And you got to look at Bill Cosby as one of the hottest celebrities or black celebrities of the times. Now, a lot of people are allergic to getting with him. Now, after he said himself that these women asked for this stuff, and so he gave it to them. But even just on a regular guy like me, let's say if I go to a get-together, 9 times out of 10, I'm going looking to meet somebody, you know.
Right.
And so not even with the drug element, with the alcohol element, you know, you get a little tipsy and whatever, and then all of a sudden you get more and more comfortable. You start saying things and whatever, and it's just a natural nature which this generation has lost sight of that. But it's natural for a man to be physically and sexually attracted to a woman as well as it is naturally for a woman to be physically and sexually attracted to a man. That's what we were created for.
True. That's true. Now, let me give you your comment on this now, or opinion on this. Now, Bill Cosby was fortunate enough to have the financial resources because to file a case with the Pennsylvania Supreme Court or any Supreme Court, there's a filing fee which is hefty. I don't know the exact amount. I think to file for a case for the Supreme Court of the United States, the filing fee might run $15,000+. I don't know what it is, but it's not cheap. It's not cheap on a state level either. So had he been Rufus Cosby, you know, see, that's the way I'm looking at it. If he didn't have the resources to fight, because he had did almost 3 years, he went up for parole and got turned down. Anyway, your thoughts on
control
that?
Well, my thoughts are that's why there was a people's law study group, because American law is not perfect. And it's not perfect in the sense of how it was established, but it's not perfect in the sense of who's sitting behind what position and what personal agenda they may have. This DA had a personal agenda to come after Cosby. It had nothing to do with whether Cosby was actually guilty of criminal charges. It was his personal duty for whatever reason to get at Cosby. So he used that and used the American law to do, and that happens to some of us. But for us, like you said, it's in a smaller category. If you have education of the law, if you have a system backing you that you're supporting, say like a prepaid legal that you were paying into, then you would have the funds and the knowledge to level the playing field so that something like this would not happen to you in a situation like this. Because if you do it, like you said, you Rufus Cosby, 9 times out of 10, you're probably screwed.
Right. Now, speaking of that, it's 2021. If people want to learn something about the law without going to an expensive law school, do you have that option available again, People's Law Study Group?
That option is always available when I see people that are interested. The People's Law Study Group is ready on the American judicial system. That's the only way to leverage the playing field. Again, this is why you have people that are upset, even the attorney that, if you listen to the clip you just played, and this attorney, one female attorney that they talked to that was upset about the judgment to release Cosby, when they asked her, you say, well, okay, where are we justice-wise? She didn't give them anything in law that could put him back in prison. Because you know, respectfully, she knows that this is in her heart, it's wrong, but her emotions
well, you know, his character has been assassinated. That's good enough for me. Well, that's about it. But as far as prison time, there's nothing out there.
Right. Right. Yeah,
so
she was speaking on emotion.
People are interested. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, if people are interested, you got to understand that there's a difference between morality and legality. And this is where the black community gets it wrong. The black community is caught up in emotions and what's morally right and wrong. Now, there's nothing wrong with morals, but you have to understand the courtroom does not operate off of morals. It operates off of legality, off of legal rules and regulations. And you must know mm-hmm. what they are, because if you don't, you can get yourself caught up. Prime example, all the time. I've said it once and I've said it a million times. The police pulls you over, the police arrests you, and he tells you straight up, you reach your Miranda rights, and he tells you anything you say can and will be used against you. Evidently, you're not paying attention because he's already told you what you said can and will be used against you, and you're trying to explain when you don't need to be talking to him anyway. The judge is where you need to be talking. You're trying to explain something to him. He's going to take your words and screw it against in his favor. See, these are things that we don't understand because we feel like if we can just morally express ourselves, that he'll understand. No. We don't understand that every situation, whether it be criminal or civil, has what is known as a cause of action. Those cause of action, based on even if you're right or wrong, if the cause of action has not been stated, you can motion to you can have motion to dismiss based off of not even stating a cause of action. Okay. Even if the cause of action is stated, what you have to understand at that point, there are certain elements to each cause of action. One may have five, one may have four, one may have three. But in order to incriminate you, all the elements of the cause of action must be proven. Also, when you are a defendant and not a plaintiff, the burden of proof is on the one who brought the complaint against you, not you. So the first thing, if you're a defendant, is shut your mouth. Because the burden of proof mm-hmm. is on them to prove what they brought against you. And you run your mouth and you fool around and say something to incriminate yourself.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. And, you know, another point here is, and I'm going to reference this to some other high-profile cases where people attempted to, let's say, hold court on the street. Because Cosby was, you know, he was arrested without incident. You know, mm-hmm. he didn't resist anybody. Mm-hmm. Even kept out of, you know, when he was in general population prison, no problems. However, he didn't try to hold court. He was patient for like almost 3 years to wait
yeah.
for the legal system, including the checks and balances system of the State Supreme Court, to work for him. Whereas in the case
right.
of Eric Gardner, and I'm not being disrespectful or judgmental of Eric Gardner, but he held court on the street, didn't
yeah.
win.
Yeah.
The guy, I forgot, in South Carolina, that the cops told him to get back in the car. And I'm not trying to justify it. Now, he got shot in the back. I'm not saying that's
yeah.
right, but
right.
You do not try to hold court in any kind of way. Follow the instructions calmly and peacefully when they're putting those cuffs on you. And Cosby, I got to give him credit. He did not try to resist a whole court on the street almost 3 years, including, he went up for parole and got turned down and still exercised
yeah.
patience.
Yeah. And the whole reason his parole was turned down because they couldn't control him. They wanted him to what is it, register as a sex offender, take some time sex offender
oh, yeah.
class.
Well, on the charges, what he got convicted on, he would
yeah.
have to register for a lifetime as a sex offender. Now, he's been released. That doesn't apply to him now. But
right, exactly.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. They now it'll be interesting. I don't know if he's going to have a comeback strategy as far as legally. You know, what about those 2+ years that he did do time, or is he just going to put that behind him and get back out?
Because
he was still doing comedy before he was arrested.
Yeah. Well, we have to take consideration Cosby is an 83-year-old man. I don't know what he's going to do. I don't know if he's going to, you know, just go ahead and enjoy the rest of his life peacefully and quietly, But, you know, it's just me. I wish he would come after Constance and sue her for everything she has. She's breached contract, and he suffered damages behind that breach. So he definitely needs to come after her. The DA needs to be disbarred. Any kind of way they can get him, they need to get him too.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Well, now, I like what you're saying, but now, because this Me Too movement, there's a whole bunch of them out there. Okay.
Yeah.
So, because you know how these days they'll get online and then do one of these GoFundMe accounts. And, you know, what's that expression? Hell hath no fury as a woman scorned.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I would go with the part. I mean, you're right. Because they, I mean, I don't know. They took 2+ years of his life, all kind of legal expenses. But, you know, at the bare minimum, Constance, because she signed that agreement, that clip I played, she signed off on that agreement as well. She got 3.2. She became a millionaire. And you know what?
Exactly.
A lot of these women, a part of this that a lot of these people are not talking about, particularly the women, is a lot of these women 20, 30, or 40 years ago, okay, they were trying, maybe not all of them, but some of them were trying to get on the come up, come up, trying to become a movie star, trying to get connected in Hollywood at the Playboy Mansion, or trying to get paid in some kind of way. And Constant got paid.
Yes. Yes.
I don't know
but
why
she's
coming
all
back
it
to
has
get more.
To be, all it has to be taken into consideration in this case. We're not talking about, as you say, Rufus Cosby. We're talking about Bill Cosby, one of the most paid celebrities, well-known celebrities of all time. So you mean to tell me, you know, I'm not trying to make Bill Cosby look like he's squeaky clean. You know, that's not what I'm saying. But you mean to tell me you go to this man and, you know, especially if you're asking for the drugs, you know, you normally knows what follows with that. You know, they had a woman come up.
Everybody knew that Cosby was a married man. It's in his stand-up routine from way back.
Yeah.
So what are you doing? Getting intimate with a married man? That's the next question I got to ask.
Oh, yeah. That's a good one to ask. So, you know, if you was in a bungalow with him or something, how did you end up there and what did you expect? You know, especially if you're taking drugs. I mean, there was a woman that, you know, they came after Russell Simmons as well. And this incident, I really cracked myself laughing. I forget who this woman's connected to. She couldn't somebody famous, but anyway, she had met Russell Simmons somewhere, and he had the limo driver to take her home, which he was in the car. But then they made a stop before they got to him. So we're talking like 2-3 o'clock in the morning. They made a stop to another place, apartment or something that he had. She got out the car, followed him all the way up into the apartment. He had sex with her, and then he brought her home. 20, 30 years later, now she's saying she's raped. Well, if you did this unconsentingly, you know, at no time did you tell him no. At no time, even if you told him no, did you try to scream? You didn't do anything. You just went along with the whole plan. So that's too easy to come up and do that type of stuff to people who are celebrities and have money. Try to get them for what they have. All this stuff has to be taken into consideration when you're talking about high-profile people like this.
Right. Yeah, that's true. I think another angle of this is I think a mistake that Bill Cosby made. If you're going to be, and we don't know what kind of agreement that he has with his wife to men. We don't know, okay? But because some people have open marriages. I don't know. But the common denominator I see between him, R. Kelly, and the late Michael Jackson is if you don't associate with people, if you're high profile and very wealthy, then if you're going to get involved with anything questionable or that can be conceived as questionable now or sometime in the future, then get involved with somebody who's got just as much to lose as you do. Prime example is Barbara Walters and Senator Ed Brooke, I don't think he's living anymore, they had an affair. But
yeah.
they kept
yeah.
it on the down low. And the only person between the two that they came out with it after she was secured and basically retired was Barbara Walters. Brooke never commented on it. But they had, but it had to come out when they were doing it, like within the 60s. You know, that would have cost them some career points. So, but they were both prominent. They had a, you know, high income, at least for those times. You know, we'll cover R. Kelly on a different day.
Yeah. Kelly don't fit in there, but I mean, like you say, Michael Jackson, I never believed Michael Jackson was guilty of fooling with the kids. And this Cosby thing definitely shouldn't have went down. But as you say, when you associate yourself, I think that's a good, healthy way of looking at it. You associate yourself with people who don't have anything to lose, people in the same category. There's the old people you say, if you lay down with a dog, you're going to get up with fleas.
Right.
a lot of times, and I think we're not really, some of us come from, so say, living in the mud, and we end up being a lotus flower that grow away from the mud, and then sometimes we don't realize we have to separate ourselves. People are in classes. Sometimes, well, I can say in America, because there are some countries that have caste system, you can't get out of your situation. But that's one of the
right.
beautiful things about America that I like about it, and I laugh because so many people have such issues with this country. But you can get out of in this country, you can get out of whatever situation, you can become a millionaire, you can become a billionaire, it's up to you. So
right.
when you separate yourself from those type of people, then you sometimes, if you come from that situation, you don't realize that you're separated from them, and you start bringing those type of people over into this new environment. But they, unlike you, brought that old concept over with them to this new concept where your mind has been renewed. But you're putting yourself in a dangerous position when you do that.
Right. Let me ask you another thing before we go to the next caller. Felicia Rashad, longtime friend of Bill Cosby, and colleague, but you had students from Howard University, and I was born on the campus of Howard University, Freedman's Hospital. What's your take? Because some of them were, I guess you had people that are pro Cosby and anti whatever, but your comments on the students, some of the students that reacted negatively to him getting released.
Well, again, I don't know what they said or did, but it's still based on emotions. What I'm talking about, as I discuss what I'm talking, has nothing to do with whether I like Bill Cosby or not.
Right.
It's based on American law. This is what I'm talking. So, no, I'm not going to say there isn't emotions tied up into the fact, because I'm happy to see the man released, because he shouldn't have never been in prison in the first place. But that's not
right.
based on my emotions of whether I like him or not. It's based on what American law says. And so anybody that's talking negatively, they don't know American law. And this is what we have at large. The masses or the majority are ignorant or illiterate to what how the judicial systems work. As the Pennsylvania court pretty much stated, this shouldn't have never happened in the first place. And that's true.
Right.
It shouldn't have. You know,
it's
and
a, it's
Felicia
a
Rashad,
modern
she
day,
been strong by him all the way through.
Yeah, I look at it as a modern-day lynching, because like you
right,
said,
exactly.
Mob rule, with that, you know, democracy. Because basically, if you look at the lynchings of black folk, during the Jim Crow era, what have you, it was basically
exactly.
mob rule. I mean, because there's
right.
no shortage of cases where they broke into the jail.
That's right.
Ignored the sheriff and got the prison out and hung him. And then one of the breakdowns that you had with the law what happened to Jesus. Essentially, the law couldn't find anything, which was Pontius Pilate. They couldn't find anything to bring him up on charges, but the mob rule crucified him.
And based off of what? No, there was no evidence that he was guilty, just based off the fact that they didn't like him for whatever reason. They said,
right.
give us Barabbas and crucify Jesus. So, you know, I love telling that story in the Bible to show the difference between democracy and a republic. A republic is based off the rule of law. And if you want to understand that, always go to the trial of Jesus. Jesus before Pontius Pilate represents the Republic, because Pontius Pilate looked in the law and he said, this man has not broken any laws. I cannot do anything with him, you know. But the people were so persistent and consistent in what they were trying to do that Pontius Pilate, you know, they had a trial, every had a day once a year where they would let the people decide. So since they were just so persistent, he said, well, okay, I wash my hands of this situation. I'm not going to have anything to do with it. I will let you all decide. And that democracy, mob rule, they didn't care whether he was innocent. They didn't care whether he was guilty. Only thing they wanted to know was give us Barabbas and crucify Jesus. And you see an innocent man being crucified. You see a murderer and a robber, thief, raper, all of that being released free. That's your democracy.
Mob rule. Well, there's a mob out there. Wherever Bill Cosby's at, I hope he just stays safe. All right, what we're going to do, we're going to keep you online. We're going to take up our next caller, which I think is Bianchi, 619-768-2945. Ladies, if you got any comment, press 1. We'll be back in 2 minutes. All right, we're back with another installment of It's My House. Today we're covering, this is trending from last week, Bill Cosby checks and balance law. And we've been speaking with Warren Houston. Let's take another call here, 619-768-2945. If you guys got any comment, ladies, you're encouraged to call in too. 314 area code, your mic is open.
Oh, Ellie.
Good to hear your voice.
Well, ain't much to say about it. I don't want the law.
I want Warren's plate.
Yeah.
Because Warren be posting some plates, man.
Yeah, he some plates, platters.
Yeah. Y'all can keep that damn law. I can't eat that law. No, ain't nothing much to say about this. Warren has pretty much said it all. I think I hope Cosby should sue to get his money back and some more, I think. But other than that, what else is it to say?
You know, if he sues her, that'll be interesting because I'm thinking that she probably spent that money and was trying to come back, you know, come back at trying to get some more. That's just a theory. I can't prove it. I don't know. But, I mean, what motivated her to ignore the document that she signed? That you know, that would be interesting. That was never brought up in the case.
Yeah.
Well, this whole stuff about women or anybody else can come back after 30 years and try to go after somebody is a bunch of bull crap. Cosby could have been a janitor 30 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And now, yeah. Well, he's got money, you decide to bring these allegations up. Nobody was there but you and him. If it was a fly on the wall, it's dead. And that's just the truth.
You know, it's really interesting the way they frame this. And once again, ladies, if you're online, call in whether side you're on. Because there's no law. I mean, nobody said that he force-fed them pills or put a gun up to their head and said, you got to take these pills or alcohol or put a knife to their throat. Whoever was in the room with them willingly took whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but they can't prove they was in the room with him.
Right. Besides, you know, the prosecutor that we heard online and even the one that prosecuted him, and these other women that have gone to the DA's office in other states, okay, you couldn't find a... There was no prosecutor in these other states that had enough evidence to bring charges, probable cause.
It'd be like somebody saying they was abducted.
If they didn't have enough evidence.
It'd be like somebody saying they was abducted by aliens and raped. Ain't no proof.
Prove that one.
Yeah, so anyway.
Well, hold on. I think we got a lady calling in. Oh, let me... Yeah, we do have a lady calling in. 253, your mic is open.
Hey, everybody, it's Robin Lynn. How you doing today?
Good. Well, Robin, you're
okay.
A lady. What's your take?
Okay, so on the delay of how long it took her to report what happened to her, I cry BS, but also as a person being sexually assaulted in the military, and I didn't tell anybody what happened to me until 20 years after it happened. And so there can be a lot of reasons why the people don't come forward and they don't report. You know, but then again, in my case wasn't high profile and I did not sue for damages or anything like that. Mine was a genuine mental health case, if you will. Okay. Mm-hmm. But, in this situation, what I say about the whole thing is back in the 60s, they had peace, love, drug, sex, and rock and roll. That was the culture,
mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And it was called playing the game. So if you went to Hugh Hefner's, if you went to the Playboy Mansion, if you were playing the game, okay, whether you were trying to get on, be a Playboy bunny, right? Or with Jeffrey Epstein and Harvey Weinstein, if you were trying to be an actress, okay? You knew, understood about the casting couches and all this other stuff, so you didn't have to go into that room. You didn't have to go through that door because you always get that instinct when something is wrong. Always,
right.
I don't care in any situation. So you made the choice. So what I say is when you're playing the game and if you get got, don't say nothing. Really. People need to own responsibility for their behaviors and their choices. Okay?
And
just because you made
a
bad choice does not make you
a
victim. Just because you made a bad choice that got you in a position that you got taken advantage of or victimized or whatever, you have to still own responsibility for that. That might make a lot of people mad, but I'm just saying, because you made a poor decision, that does not necessarily make you a victim. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Well, a lot of the Me Too
That's
women,
what I
they don't
to
want to be held accountable.
Right. Right. They want to stick their foot in
the
water. They want to do that. Then they want to play injured. Then they want to play Me Too. When they get old, when they didn't get on. Now, and let me ask you this: how many of you that have gotten on that casting couch and got that role? That's what I want to say. Have you ever seen it work? So why do they continue to fall for the okie dokie? I don't understand. Because you don't got to be a victim. You don't got to be. You really don't. They weren't holding guns over these people's heads and stuff like that.
Well, the casting couch probably have worked, but here's the question that should be asked. If you knew that you used the casting couch to get where you are, then you should voluntarily give up because you done something wrong.
Ha. What about that?
Absolutely.
What about that?
Give up what you have gotten by using the casting couch. And you know that the casting couch is wrong because people are bringing these claims against those who's controlling the casting. So give up your position. Everything you gain off the casting couch, give it up.
Yeah.
And they don't want to do that.
Yeah. Warren, you need to teach some coaches. I guess you're already trying to, but these civil lawsuits are the way to go under any circumstance, especially you got a lot of fools out here running into your cars and tearing up stuff. Sue their damn ass. Now you got Negroes talking about reparations. They're going to get some money, so you liable. Get your claim.
You know what? Speaking of reparations, there's a... Man, you guys probably know. Isn't there a new another city? I mean, you got Evansville. You got they're working on in Charlotte, but there's another.
Those
city
things ain't going no place. You see what happened
they're
to the farmers'
with,
deal?
Who?
You saw what happened
Detroit.
With the deal that
Detroit, Michigan is coming up with a reparations bill.
Yeah, but Detroit's been controlled by black people forever.
Yeah. I know.
Let me say this about reparations. Now, I think that there are certain incidents that did happen in history. Maybe reparations should be paid, but not slavery as a whole. Prime example, I think reparations should be paid. What's that town in North Carolina? It was a town in North Carolina that was a black town. They were actually ran out by the Democratic Party. A lot of them was killed, and they actually took over that. I can't even think of the name of it. Now, this I have to see about
Rosewood?
The information.
That probably was a Sun
no,
Belt town.
No, this is in North Carolina.
Rosewood
was
in Florida.
Okay.
I'm going to pull the information up while we're talking. But in situations where you can definitely prove that the federal government was guilty, yes, reparations definitely need to be paid in that instance. But slavery as a whole, no.
You know,
I'm pulling up.
You're right on that.
I'll talk. Keep talking.
I'm trying to think of what I was getting ready to say, really.
Hold that thought, Pianki, while you bring it up.
Oh, what I was getting ready to say.
Oh, okay, go ahead.
You saying that another town. Well, that one thing that Joe Biden administration put forth where the U.S. Department of Agriculture is supposed to make money specifically for black farmers, the courts threw that out and said, you can't do that. And now you're discriminating against everybody else. No, I think a lawsuit is drawn up on that.
Okay. All right, hold on, Pianki. Let me go to another call here. 410 area code. What did you say?
So now...
The Wilmington Massacre that happened in 1898. The Wilmington Massacre, Wilmington, North Carolina. Read up on that.
Okay.
That's
I remember that.
I definitely believe that reparations need to be paid.
So now civil actions, which there is no more civil actions, it seems, has become discrimination, discriminatory. If they try to utilize any, they'll throw it out and say, no, that's discriminatory against everybody else. Okay.
No, it's not civil. No, what they're saying is that when you try to make a law that's just going to apply to a certain ethnic group, that's discrimination.
Uh-huh.
They ain't showing that something was done wrong. You're just saying that you want to make this set aside for these people and not everybody.
So why is that any different than any treaties and stuff that they have for the Indians and stuff then? Why not? I mean, because
the Indians are a sovereign country. The Cherokee in 1979 kicked out all the blacks.
They did.
And Cherokee, yeah, and those are not black Americans. Those are a nation. Although some of them in their nation have black skin, they not black American. Matter of fact, the question was raised to them.
God.
They said, we don't want to be no Americans.
Yeah, they are a separate nation. But that's a whole nother podcast. Let's go to 410. Hold on, Robin. 410, area code, your mic is open.
Yeah.
410, mic is open.
Good morning. How you doing?
Good. Good to hear your voice.
I'm just listening this morning. I'm just glad to see you back on. I didn't know how to listen to your podcast on your new system, so I'm just listening this morning.
Now, when I sent out the little short, like 2 or 3 minute blast on, Anchor, those are basically announcement-like type things. So if you get one, that was it. Those are not live streams at all. Those are just pre-recorded, letting you know. You know, we haven't disappeared. It's just, here's what's happening. So that's what those were about. These are live streams. These are ones where we actually listen to the live fresh content on a daily basis.
Oh, I thought you had switched to a new platform.
No. Well, I've had Anchor for the last 2 years. It's just I don't use it that often.
Oh, okay. Well, I'll just listen today. I'm en route to somewhere else, and I'll catch you on another day.
Okay, good hearing.
I'm going to end on this with just happy Independence Day for all you conservatives and liberals. I know you're celebrating the flag and your freedom, so I'll let you get back to it, okay? Take care.
All right.
You know what you
and
should
I
do with this
And I just want to take a second to say that It's My House TV is also streaming live as we speak on Apple TV, Roku, and Amazon Fire Stick. And there's also a Roku channel for It's My House TV. So,
and
you just go in the
challenge
store.
Thank you, because when we were during downtime, we were Robin on our Facebook page, It's My House TV. She was posting replays from previous shows. So for the last 2.5-3 weeks, there were repeat shows. Thanks to Robin, orchestrating that whole thing.
Yep. So go in the channel store on Roku and search It's My House and install it, and you can watch us there. Yeah. And also, it's available through Boxcast TV. So if you have an Apple device, Amazon, or Roku, you can download and install Boxcast TV, and then you search for I Am Streaming, and then all of the programs available there. It's My House, Vibes Live Radio, Jesus in the Morning, and more pop up for you.
What you should do, L.A., is charge $75 a day. That way, like that last call, you eliminate a lot of that riffraff.
Well, that's capitalism at its
best. Yeah, you can do that. You can do that. Mm-hmm. I like how he thinks.
Capitalism. Now, Warren, you've already stated it. Because, like, say, what I'm looking at this case with Bill Cosby is, like, say, he had the financial resources to fight back. But the average person, and I'm sure there are plenty of them, that their rights got well, like he used to say, and I'm sure you still see it. If you don't know your rights, you don't have any.
Right.
So Bill Cosby had the financial resources to hire people who knew his rights and had, you know, like I said, the Fowler case, which is principally extreme, is not free. So if people are interested in learning the Rufus Cosby of the world, and there are plenty of them, Rufus Smiths or whatever, how could they get in touch with you to, you know, start to becoming legally literate? And learning the legal system, because, like I said, this is a checks and balance system.
Right. Well, if there's any group or organization that is interested in it, and even if there is enough individuals who's interested, I'm the creator and organizer of the People's Law Study Group, which is basically community-based classes, effectively educating the community on the American judicial system. With knowledge of the judicial system, it actually levels the playing field. Because most people are really not knowledgeable how the system works, and this is the biggest issue. I can't think of one of the Supreme Court justices who said, and it's a true statement. He said 80 to 90% of the people are in prison that are in there by their own ignorance, and that is a very, very true statement. We have to understand the American judicial system, how and why it was set up. The first 10 amendments were set up. Those 10 amendments was to protect the citizen from the government. So you can expect, and this is the thing that gets me, is people talking about looking to the government for protection. Well, the amendments were put in place to protect you from them. So you have to know what these rights are and know how to act upon them, because if you don't, then you put yourself in a situation where you can be railroaded. So, yeah, I can be reached, area code 346-217-0595, 346-217-0595, or you can email me, Warren Houston, that's W-A-R-R-E-N, Houston, H-O-U-S-T-O-N, the number 71, at gmail.com, WarrenHouston71 at gmail.com.
Okay. It's scary how, this guy ran for office using, Cosby as a campaign promise. And
Cosby sued his ass, too.
Yeah, that's real scary how he did that in broad daylight.
Mm-hmm.
He needs to sue. And like I said before, these people that's out here committing these crimes, burglarizing your houses and hitting your cars, they don't have any financial responsibilities required by law, sue them and get a judgment. Because people out here talking about receiving reparations, then you want to put a claim on their reparations amount.
You got to remember this, especially in civil law, L.A., a judge is not a judge until you make him a judge. So, in other words,
especially civilly. One thing I can tell you right now that I see happens all the time that needs to be a law, a civil suit to be brought up, need to be brought up against these banks. And they do it openly and aggressively, and that is if Pionke writes me a check right now on his bank, I can take that check to his bank to cash it, and they want to charge me to cash the check that he wrote me. That is totally unethical and illegal. He has, because I don't have a checking account at this bank, you want to charge me to cash a check on his account where the money is there and it is already telling you to pay to the order? The money is already in his account, and it is a direct command to pay to the order of. So you shouldn't be charging me. The only person they're going to be charging, now if you go to a third party check cashing in, yes, that should be if they want to charge because they don't have no skin in the game. But if I'm going directly to a bank that where Pionke has the funds and he's giving me a check for them to pay for, why are they charging me? So
you
people
know,
would do things openly and maliciously.
Right. Well, I know, you got online alternatives now where essentially you don't have to deal with a traditional bank anymore. I mean, what do you call it? You got PayPal, you got Facebook's got a system, Apple Pay. Some of these banks, if they don't switch up, but Robin, what's your take on that? Because you're more of a tech person than I am.
Yeah, I my banking is completely digital now, and some people might be uncomfortable with that because they might say, "Well, I want to go to my bank and physically withdraw my money," but once you deposit it, it's gone. It's digitalized anyway, right? It's not in your physical control anyway. Mm. Right, and then the only difference is you may not deal with someone personally, but now if you have a bank and you go in and you deal with that teller personally, there's a fee for all of that. So digitally, online, they eliminate all of that, and they'll give you money four days early. So. You know, you just have to look around and shop around.
And then you got a lot of people now because with e-commerce, you got Pionke probably knows more about it, definitely more than I do. With cryptocurrency, you know, I don't know how that works with all this, but people are getting away from writing checks. I mean, I'm sure there's still a lot of people doing that, but a lot of people are going digital.
Well, that may be a remedy for what's going on, but that's really illegal in the sense that you would try to charge me to cash a check that's written on your bank from someone that has an account there.
Right.
Why do they get away with it then?
Because people don't stand up and fight.
Right.
It's just like in the case. Cosby could still be in prison if he didn't fight. He had the financial resources to fight. But if he didn't have the financial resources to fight, he would still be in prison. That's the very, very scary part. That's part of the check and balance system.
Warren, would you suggest that when we fight it back, would individuals file a suit against their bank?
What needs to happen with that situation is someone needs to bring a civil lawsuit, which probably would end up being a class action. That's the only thing. Now, I must say, personally, I'm not a fan of class action because at the end, the only person that really wins is the attorneys. Because by the time you have so many people, you know, take part of the claim, whenever they get the reward, split it all up, you ain't walking on much of nothing anyway. But I think it still would be necessary to stop these banks from doing that type of stuff. And so as you talk about civil cases, people's civil rights are violated all day, every day. That doesn't mean if they don't they don't stand up for anything about it, then there's nothing that's going to be done about it. I mean, try calling the police, and a lot of people found out
So I called the police about a real estate property where you and somebody have some kind of civil dispute, and you think they're going to, the first thing I'm going to tell you, well, this is a civil matter. Why? Because the police are out there for criminal activity, not civil activity. So civil activities are handled in the courtrooms. And so, therefore, if you don't bring up accusation, then it's not going to be dealt with.
What,
well, you know another
what
thing, too.
Are the, what, I got a question. What are the police, they're, like, limited when they respond in what they can do? Peacekeep, criminal, what's their scope of what the police can do when they respond, Warren?
Well, again, they're there to deal with criminal issues, not civil issues. And people have found that out. They've called, and they've had civil issues, and they thought the police were going to come out and dissolve the matter. No, this is civil. We don't have anything to do with that. Prime example, this happened years ago. This was before I even had a college degree. I was with a friend of mine, and we was over his girlfriend out there, had a child together. And they got into this heated argument. So he gets up and he grabs his son. She starts screaming and hollering, "Don't take my child!" And she gets on the phone. She's gonna run and call the police. Okay. So he was holding his son, but he was scared to leave. He didn't know what the law was, neither did I. Well, you know, I was in my early 20s at the time. But when the police came, you know, the first thing my friend told the police, he said, "Officer, I don't want any problems. Sir, I just want to leave with my son." Well, the police looked at him and said, "Well, what's stopping you?" And to our amazement, we both looking at each other because, you know, basically when it comes to child support, basically it's been in favor for the women. But what
right.
we didn't understand at that time was that possession, this is a civil matter, and possession is 9/10 of the law. So when the police got there, he saw the father in possession of the child. There was no court order. So what is it you want me to do? I can't do anything but back up and let you leave. And that's what we did. So that's the difference between understanding civil and criminal actions. Now, had he to bust upside the head or something, then he'd have been going to jail.
Yeah, for
well,
folks.
It's talking about
no,
black folks.
Battery.
Blacks want the federal government to handle all their damn problems. It's just remarkable, ain't it? You know, another thing you have to
know, real
or,
big problem,
or women
right.
will use the use that as a weapon, trying to mess with someone because they mad at them or whatever. They baby daddy, they friend that they mad at or whatever. Just saying.
You know, you said
yeah.
that Cosby refused to take some classes, right, while he was in prison?
Yeah, yeah, for what, sexual, whatever it was.
Well, it's a damn good thing he did because
that,
then he would be admitting to wrong.
I think they said he got turned down for
yeah.
parole.
Yeah, he would have been admitting he had done something wrong.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. And that's what they wanted him to do, to admit to that.
Well, you know, in the Mike Tyson case, the judge in that case, after he was already in prison, said if he recanted, he could get possibly released early, but Mike stuck to his story and did his stretch.
Right. That's what he's supposed to. Well, yeah. And that was bogus on him. And isn't that the one about the woman that spent the night?
Yeah.
He was walking down to
Desiree. Or she went over to his motel room like 1 or 2
she
o'clock
went
in the morning.
In his room.
Right.
And he wouldn't walk her down to the cab?
Yeah, it was one of those things. He wasn't a gentleman on
I think he's crazy as hell. In that situation, and then wanted to get back at him because, you know, as Mike told us,
yeah.
you know, she came to his room late at night in the first place. What you think you're going for? Okay. But after Mike finished having sex with her, he pretty much showed no interest in her. And I think that was pretty much hurt her.
Yeah, that's where she got pissed off.
Yeah.
Well, that's usually the way it happens.
Yeah.
After you get that orgasm, your senses come back.
Yeah.
Yeah,
well,
but these young girls, they don't know that because they fill their heads with stuff and then they blah, 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 and then they're silly, right? And then they have these dreams and these expectations, but I don't care. She still took her own self in that room. She was playing the game. So,
right.
And like I said, then you want to turn around and then use that as a weapon because you're mad. See, that's why we need to back it up, and people need to own responsibility for their behavior and their own choices. And just because you make a bad choice, that does, and something happens, that doesn't mean you a victim. You just got. And sorry for you. And I'm a person that's been sexually assaulted, okay? So let me just say that.
That's something that
there's a double standard out there, because you got a lot of women are socialized where, you know, they can say things, do things, and go basically unchecked. For some ladies, it might be a whole lifetime that they just were never checked or held accountable.
Yeah.
Well, Warren mentioned about Barabbas and Jesus. You got a mentality out here today that don't know the proper uses of words like democracy. But you look at this recent incident with this woman that was running track, and she tested positive for marijuana.
Yeah, Sharice.
And you look at the comments, people talking about, well, she should be excused because her mother died. What kind of dumbass stuff is that?
Exactly.
Okay, so
Hold up, Bianchi. Now, they are really comparing her, you know, that all this was done because she was black. What happened to Michael Phelps, the white guy, the swimmer, when he was caught with drugs?
Yeah, he had to spend some time. He was suspended.
Well, they took his medals, didn't they? No, that was Lance Armstrong, the biker. I got one for you. Okay, dealing with the Olympics and doping. Okay, now, she's been suspended for 30 days from smoking marijuana, which is legal in the state that she smoked in, Oregon. But what about this lady that qualified for Olympics? It's a trans female.
Yeah, I was going to talk
about that. Biologically, on a DNA level, a man. Now, in order to become a trans, you have to use drugs on a regular basis.
That's
but
a good
there's
point.
No consequences
yeah, but
for
they,
that.
But they are,
but, for
but they're not
a
banning
joint,
drugs.
There's a penalty.
Yeah, they're not banning drugs.
I still got a problem with that.
But
whether
it enhances or dehances. Whether it enhances or dehances.
Right. The trans
well,
that
don't make no difference.
Male, that is an enhancement to that person.
Yeah, but it don't make no difference. They put a drug on there and tell you that you're not supposed to use it. I mean, that's just the rules.
Well, that's what the rules are, and the rules are the rules.
And okay, wait, and then they go like this: if you have a percentage, you can have testosterone as a trans, but if it's under a certain level, that will qualify you to compete as a woman, as a female.
That should be
eligible.
Based on your biological, how you was born. Damn it,
I agree.
Crazy
thank
mess.
You. Thank
yeah,
you.
I agree.
Let me say this about
Shakari Richardson. Okay.
Okay.
If those people are upset with Shakari Richardson because she missed the Olympics because she smoked weed, and she should be given a second chance, and they did it because she was black. Let me say this. First of all, Shakari Richardson is young. She's 20, 21 years old. She has to redeem herself. That's number one. Now, if you want to compare her to somebody white, let's look at Phelps. Phelps received 3 months suspension from competition and lost his Kellogg sponsorship in 2009. Not because he tested positive, because a photograph surfaced online showing that he was smoking weed, but he never tested positive for anything. So he lost mega money. He lost endorsements behind a 3 month suspension behind a picture, not a test. So We got to get off of this foolishness that we own, man. We got to get off this foolishness. We need to respect rules, laws, and regulations. That's what we need to do. And we definitely need to become accountable, because if you don't learn accountability and responsibility, you have people calling in and they mad because you enjoying your liberties and your freedoms, and they'll take offense to the 4th of July because they mad because they don't like the 4th of July. That's what you have to do.
That's right.
Right.
Then they tell you that we got to be forgiving to her. They tell you we got to be forgiving on George Floyd's path. Goddamn, what else?
Yeah, right.
Crazy,
no.
It's crazy.
People just need to act right and stay right. How about that? Everyone wants to be right, but they don't want to be righteous. Okay.
Oh, well, on an end note now, let me ask you this, your opinion on Chauvin since we've last been on. Chauvin has been sentenced to, 22.5 years, 22 and a half years. But there's three more trials that are coming up with the three remaining officers. Any comments or thoughts on that?
Well, the remaining officers shouldn't be charged or anything. What are they going to do, shoot him?
No, they've been charged. They were charged along with Trump.
You can
they
charge anybody. You know what a lawsuit is? I could walk up to you and hand you a piece of notebook paper. That's a lawsuit. I don't mean it's going in place. That's a lawsuit, piece of paper. And I think that I believe if he appeal with all the he couldn't get a fair he couldn't find a fair jury because it was all in the paper 24 hours a day. You had dumbass Maxine Waters running away over there talking a bunch of crap, and she's an elected official who a lot of people listen to her. So disregarding what he done and also what he done, he was allowed in the department, and the department didn't have no rules and regulations on how long to apply such a technique. I mean, it's a lot of things there that I see, but who am I?
Well, he's got a federal case against him, too, I believe. Warren, any thoughts on that?
I would like to go back and look at it before I make any comments, but, you know, I differ a little bit from that, even though there was no, like Pianca stated, basically from the policy, there was no anything written on how long he should apply it, but the common sense should have kicked in on that one, you know, that you were actually killing this man. Nobody can stand that pressure with your knee and your body weight on their neck for that. You knew what you were doing, you know. I'm not sure. I'm for the sentence that was given, the amount of time, but I'd rather look into it again before I really totally respond on it.
Yeah, well, he's got, once again, the checks and balance system is still in play for him, too, so he can appeal it. Minnesota does have a state Supreme Court, like every state has that, and he's got a federal case coming up as well. And the three other officers, their state trial hasn't come up. They might be offered a plea bargain. We don't know, Warren. We're going to have you back another day where you can talk about what a plea bargain is.
Let me ask you a question, Warren.
All that stuff.
The crime he committed against people in the past, I think you've read about them.
Mm-hmm.
Like the home invasion and so on. Can't them people come back and file, or is it past the statute of limitation for filing a civil suit against his estate?
It depends on the laws of the state of Minnesota, what statute of limitations are on it. But as long as it hasn't passed statute of limitations, yes, they can always come back.
Yeah, his estate getting all this money. Maybe those people of concern who he violated should come back and file lawsuits against his estate.
Now, here's the thing with a civil lawsuit, though. Civil lawsuits cost money.
Well, they don't
so
cost
they don't
that
have
much,
to,
I got
again,
one.
Like Bill Cosby, if you don't have the financial resources, you can't fight civilly.
I got a application here for filing a civil lawsuit in St. Louis County. It cost me $35, and I think it may be another $35 for the sheriff to go out and serve.
That might not be a lot of money to us, but there's a whole lot of people that's grocery money to quite a few people.
Yeah, but you can also file as an indigent, file an affidavit, and you can still file your motions. and stuff and get them paid for.
You
sure
guys
can.
Probably had taken a people's law study group at some form of time or listen to the Know Thyself podcast.
Well, you know, here's the thing.
A lot of people don't know what you guys are saying, though. See, that's the thing. A lot of people don't know they're right.
That's another damn excuse. Ignorance of the law is no excuse. I argue with people about that all the time, about what parents should be doing for their kids. Well, maybe they don't know they can do that. Now, what kind of dumbass answer, reply, rebuttal is that?
I would not even say that. Yeah, thank you.
I mean, look at that, Robin. You telling people all the things that's available where their child don't have to be felon. And they reply, well, maybe they don't know that.
There is, right here in Houston, we have the Harris County Law Library. And most major cities are going to have a county law library. I go in their county law library and I look at all the programs and the self-help things that they have for people to use, not just the People's Law Study Group. I look at this in the county. And do you know how many people use those programs? Next to none.
Well, another thing, Warren, I'm sure not only in your city, but in it, even a lot of major cities in the United States, or even mid-sized cities, at practically every public library, there's a law section.
Where's the disconnect? Where is the disconnect? Where's the disconnect?
Well, I'll tell you exactly what it is. People like the ones that gave that excuse is making money off the ignorance that's being shown by the people of Mitchell.
Exactly.
They need people to be ignorant. If they ain't ignorant, then they don't make any, just like Booker T. Washington said. They need these people to be ignorant and act a damn fool. Because that's what they make their money
off
of.
Well, then we're
the
going to the disconnect and it'll probably be in the mainstream educational system.
Look at the NEA is trying to get critical race theory, and that dumbass Joe Biden want to have it in all schools. And what is that doing? That's disregarding the rights of the parents.
Yeah. And that's going to bring more of a divide in the United States. That's all critical race theory teaching is going to do. It's going to further destroy the place.
Well, folks, on that note,
all right.
Thank you guys for calling in. We're going to cut it short because we're over time already.
Well,
I'll
tell you what,
L.A.,
you've been gone so long, I've been used to sleeping, so I don't know if I'm going to be coming back that easy.
In any event, some of you probably have barbecues or got invited somewhere because today is the official holiday. So on that note, everyone have a good rest of the day. Thanks, Warren, for calling in.
Thank you.